I'll never be the same. want to remember to pray for Sister Christine Rissler's father. His name is Brother Floyd Justice. He's had problems with his heart. He has a pacemaker and defibrillator. Amen. His defibrillator didn't go off as it should have. He's now in the ICU, heavily sedated. Just want to remember him in prayer. The family would really appreciate that. Also, Brother Joseph Coleman turns in a request for his family. They're homesick with a cold and cough. I'm going to ask Brother Joe Adams to come open the service for us. I also want to remember Sister Ruth Pruitt. She had surgery today. She's recovering well, just having some pain. So I want to remember her in prayer. Amen. If you have a need, just lift it to the Lord together. Amen. Amen. How many believes he's here to meet every need? Amen. Let's just take this to the Lord together as we pray.
Amen. Let's just pray. Father, Lord, we just humble ourselves in your presence tonight, Lord, and want to say how much we love you. Lord, how honored it is to come into your presence, Lord, with thanksgiving, and we can enter into your courts with praise, Father. And Lord, we can set aside the cares of today, Lord, and come and worship you, the living God. And Lord, what an honor it is, Father, that our hearts have been turned back to the faith, oh God. And we're here tonight, Lord, to exalt you, Father. We're here to lift up your holy name, Lord God, in adoration and in praise. Lord, we're here tonight to pull on the Word of God and on the gift that you have placed before us, Father, to receive, Lord, the Word in due season. And we invite you, Lord, tonight. We invite your presence, oh God. We invite your Spirit to come. Move in our midst tonight, Lord. May it not just be another Wednesday night service, but Father, may it be a service in which you'd come and you would just dwell with us, oh God, and you would minister to us, Lord, and you would speak to the needs of the people, Father, and you would cater to their desires and their, Lord, the needs that they have in their lives. Lord, tonight you hear these requests that were read, Lord, across the pulpit tonight. Lord, our brother that's in need with this heart condition. Lord, we just ask that you'd go forth right now, Lord God, on the wings of our prayer. Begin to administer the healing that is needed, oh God, the comfort that is desired, Lord. We pray you'd be with the family during this time, dear God. And Lord, not only that, we just ask you'd be with Sister Ruth. You see, she's, Lord, recovering from a successful surgery today. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd continue to just to mend her body, oh God, and bring a total healing, Lord, to her and us. And just a speedy recovery, Father, and be with the family. Brother Timothy, Lord, as it'll be upon him to take care of Sister Ruth till she's back up in full strength, Father. So we just ask that you just rally around us tonight, oh God, and as we just come in your presence, so Lord, and pray you continue to touch Brother Jerry Scholl. We thank you for what you've done in his life, Lord, nothing short of a miracle, Father. And we just ask you to continue, Lord, just to, Lord, pour out your blessings upon him and, Lord, strengthen his body day by day, Lord. Lord, just seeing the fruits of your word, Lord, as it being ministered to him. He's up and he's taking more steps and he's actually, Lord, getting dressed now and putting on everyday clothes, Father. And Lord, what an honor it is. A month ago, Lord, we didn't expect to make it through a night, but Lord, it just shows you're a living God. And Lord, we just serve you tonight with a great aspiration, Lord, and a great expectation of your wondrous word, Father. So just come and be with us tonight, oh God, as we invite you and we invite your presence. For we ask these things, Lord, tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brothers can take up the offering. I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one,
Trust in this hour. Who else could we go to? We don't look for anyone else, Lord, because we know you're the only source of life. You're the only source that we could truly find our rest, for our hope, for our trust, for our faith. We're asking your blessings upon us tonight. We're asking, Lord, that you would speak to your children that has gathered together on this rainy Wednesday evening, Lord. They broke in the middle of their week to step aside just to come back to your house again. Lord, to this place that is dedicated for your service. And they have come, and Lord, for just a little while to sit in your presence, to give worship and praise. Lord, to honor you, the Almighty God, to say that you are our God and that we are your children. I ask for your anointing tonight. I ask for anointed ears, Lord, that can hear what the Spirit would say. I would ask, Lord, tonight for open hearts that the Word of God can be sown as a seed. Lord, I ask, O God, for harvest of the many seeds that have been sown. Through the many sermons that have been preached from this desk, I pray now, Lord, that you, as we would thrust in the sickle tonight, that you bring a mighty harvest. Lord, a mighty harvest of your grace and power. It's in the name of Jesus we ask it for your glory. Amen and amen. God bless you. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, and we'll read from verse 1. Good to see you here on this Wednesday evening. Amen. Assembled together tonight in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. What a privilege it is to be here, and what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. Amen. We certainly appreciate the Lord tonight. We appreciate you, and amen, each one of you. Amen. Romans chapter 5, we'll read from verse 1 down through verse 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen. May God bless you. You can be seated. I'm going to be breaking from my regular subjects that I've been speaking on tonight to just speak to the church for a little while here on a little subject that is a result of incidences that has happened, as I believe that the Holy Spirit has been moving in a tremendous way, and we'll move again tonight. You know, we all know we're living in perilous times. Of course, we can tell that by just about every day the news articles coming out. Korea continues to threaten the world. The Middle East wants to destroy and conquer the world. France is in upheaval right now to take his country back from the Muslims. The United States is trying to defend its borders. And while all of this is going on, I believe there's a bride rising to her position, into her place, and knowing who she is in Christ. This quote here has to do with Easter, but we have just passed. But I want to just bring it because he said the very message of the gospel itself is to prove to the people that he is risen. Go tell my disciples that I'm risen from the dead, and I'll meet with them to confirm this to them. Oh God, how in this last day there shall be light again across the earth. And I'll prove to my disciples, go tell them I'm not dead, I'm not a tradition, but I'm a living Christ. I'll meet them, take this message to my disciples that I'm risen from the dead, the gospel, good news. You know, this Easter past, as you know, we were away. You were down at youth camp, and some of you didn't get to go, but just kind of let you know, it was just a time of a going forth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was great times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. As brothers went out into far lands, whether it be like Brother Dale Smith going into Alaska, way back where it's still iced over to the First Nation people there, and others like Brother Mike Price and Brother Andy Schuler, who Brother Schuler is from Tucson, Brother Baker's church, went to Burma, and Brother Doug Baker then would meet them on the end of their trip there in South Korea. And in Burma alone, there were 10 that were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And there was another one that was baptized in Korea. 4 of the 10 in Burma were young ministers that had seen the truth of the Godhead and water baptism. And so they've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The man in Korea was also a minister as well. He was a Seventh-day Adventist, but he has seen the light. Amen. And was taken on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, but, Korea has been a nation that has been kind of held in stalemate for many, many years and kind of, you know, just not going forward. And it's a Christian nation, so the message should have spread like wildfire, because you don't have all the groundwork of just having to introduce them Jesus, or who Noah was, or John the Baptist, or whatever. You say those names and it means nothing. So, you know, but here just in recent days, recent years, actually since Brother John Lay and different ones that went in there, and I've spoke with other brothers, and we've been sending floods of ministers in there to try to jumpstart that again and get a spark of life going again. And Brother John Lay did a large work there in the initial part of that. And they continue to go forward and beginning to see fruit in the work. And then meanwhile, all this was going over Easter. Brother Jason Watkins went to Australia, and there he had great meetings there. I just spoke with Brother Craig Boer, who went to the Philippines. And there in the Philippines, there were 30 that were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. It was just the last service was just a climax service, and it just exploded under God's presence. And even they just witnessed a ball of fire coming down like a great light that just exploded into the place, and many were filled with the Holy Spirit. He went on from there to Japan, and although there were no new converts, those that were there were strengthened. They hooked up with Chinese interpreter Brother Liu from China, and they would gather for a Bible study, and then with Skype or something similar, WeChat, I think they call it, you know, was able then to, from English, go to be heard in China, and from China be spoke back to Japan. And then they also had a hired man who was a Catholic man, but he was interpreting for him in Japanese. And so, you know, they had Bible studies there, and the people just glowed as the word enlightened them and they were quickened. And so I give this from Brother Jonathan Martin, who also met Brother Craig there, or perhaps it was the other way around. Brother Jonathan went first, and Brother Craig met him there on the end of his Philippine trip, and said, we were able to have many Bible studies as well as question and answers, and we was able to see the light come on as the word answered questions, and even testimonies of people being set free. And it was instrumental in encouraging the more established believers. The Lord is continuing to deal with the little Japanese pastor, Sister Hyde. She is realizing more and more, and she's at a crossroads. Said, normally we have a couple of Bible studies with her, but for the first time she came to ours with the other believers. And just the more that she is sat there in the presence of God and the word was expounded, you know, the light is coming on. And then even God began to work in the Catholic translator. I think he's actually American, isn't he, Brother George? And he married a Japanese, but he's very fluent in the Japanese language. And you know, God began to do a work in him. And he began to realize that he needed to make his call and election sure, and realizing his need of salvation, very close, just right on the edge of repentance. And so, you know, God was just softening hearts, dealing with lives. And I want you to pray for that young man. His name is Michael. I want you to hold him up in prayer every time that you pray. You just make it a point, you know, remember Michael in Japan. Because we need someone who can speak that language, who can break through the barrier for it. It's a very difficult language, you know, to bridge. And so we need, God has a man somewhere. And I believe God's crossed these paths and making preparation. And I want you to pray that there be a real breakthrough of this young man, that God will save him, fill him with the Holy Ghost, and baptize him with the power of God. Because, you know, there has to be the gospel to go into all the world so the end can come. And it could not come until this gospel was returned to us in this last day. Now, for those of you that were at our youth camp, you witnessed, you know, the service after service where God moved in a phenomenal way. And we, you know, reports of the camp is just spreading through and coming back from several testimonies coming back of what God did. It was testified, Brother Wayne testified that he saw the angel of the Lord standing there by the prayer line. And just even before they would even be laid hands on, they'd be overcome by the power of the Holy Ghost. I just heard from Jason DeMars, because while we were all doing this, Brother Jason DeMars was having a Bible's Mystery Conference in Isparta, Turkey. And it was there in a meeting that Brother Branham, now you just take this for what it's worth, I'm just telling you the story, but Brother Branham appeared to a denominational woman. That particular denominational church had been calling them devils and Branhamites. And she walked into a service. This woman walked into service, saw it on the table some books, and she said, she opened up one of the books, thumbing through it, looking, saw a photo of Brother Branham in there, and said, "Where is that man?" And the brother there said, "Well, he's dead. He's passed on." And she said, "No, he isn't. I just saw him. And he greeted me when I came in. The only thing," said, "he was younger and had more hair, but I'm 100% sure that was him." And she and her husband took all the books and tracts that they had, and they're testifying their church and everyone else, and are meeting with the local pastor, message pastor, to learn the truth of the message. Quite a number of the people from that church are testifying. They're testifying, these men are not teaching things from the devil, they're teaching the Bible. And Brother Jason spoke on baptism, Godhead, why the Trinity is false, the basis of one God, and three attributes are manifestation. And the local pastor spoke on the Son of Man ministry and serpent seed. About 120 people came for that missionary conference there, for that gospel conference there in that 2 days. And as a result, there were 14 that came and were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many others that are continuing to inquire after God is moving. I'm just telling you, I'm just giving you a picture of revival fires here and revival fires there and revival fires all around. Amen. I already told you of our meetings, in Switzerland, of how God used his gifted ministry to scream out the message to them in that country to get back in step. This was the ninth year of those meetings that stem from the unction of the Holy Ghost, from a Brother Bisco while he was reading mail from a believer there, and God directly intervened in the affairs of the saints there. And as a result, these meetings began. This was the ninth meeting. I've been asked to come. Brother Bisco, 5 years ago or more, pleaded with me to come, and I just flat refused because I didn't feel to leave the youth camp. After going to Germany, and Germany was a spinoff meeting as a result of those meetings there, and So I went there and I ministered there, and I just really felt directed of the Lord to go back and follow up there in Switzerland because some of those same people would be there. And of course, Brother Donnie Reagan was invited to come to that meeting as well. He dealt with the spirit realm, two marvelous sermons, bringing healing to those that were wounded in the spirit. And you got to understand the situation there. These were people that were hurt and confused and disillusioned and offended and bruised and wounded. And, it's just been a time of healing, each one of these conferences. And Brother Donnie ministered there to the spirit realm, dealing with complexes and wounded spirits and, bringing healing. Then we saw Brother Bisco take his sermon, and he dealt with the soul, and many flocked to the front for prayer to surrender their lives to God. And then Brother Ron Spencer preached on Saturday night, and there was a mighty deliverance as there were people that were received divine healing. And let me just tell you just one little incident. It was not in the prayer line. But there was a sister that came to Brother Ron and I, and I don't even remember because it's now grayed over exactly where it was, but it was like in a lobby or maybe outside of a hotel or somewhere. I don't remember exactly where it was, but it was not in the prayer line or in church. But this sister came up and asked for prayer. She had completely lost hearing in her ear. And Brother Ron and I prayed, and I laid my hands upon her ears and rebuked that spirit. And Brother Ron prayed and went together with me, and she began hearing. And her hearing continues to be restored as the healing processes. We've heard back news from her. She's, that hearing has come back into her ear. You know, God's God. Amen. I just believe that he'll also give a hear and ear to many of those. Now, my role there was for the healing of the church, the body of Christ, not for individuals, but the body of Christ who had been divided because of various doctrines. The word has been misplaced and it's caused a lot of confusion and hurt. And I preached two sermons unraveling the tangled knots where people were knotted up. But, and it brought strength and healing to many. And people from 72 nations streamed, and it was translated into 7 different languages right there as we spoke. Now, I had a French interpreter beside me, but there was 6 more into other different languages. So it went around the world from English and to France and then all over the world. But as I prepared to go and my heart was set to go and I'd committed to go, it was on December the 30th, 2016, that, Brother Ron Spencer early one morning had a dream. And he dreamed of a large convention, and he saw us there with Brother Ed Biskell. Brother Ed had not even committed to going to the meeting. We didn't even know if he would because of different situations. You know, maybe he wouldn't be able to travel. He had not committed. And so he had a dream that he saw Brother Ed there, myself, Brother Donnie, and himself, and different ones at a large convention. And they were taking pictures. You know, a lot of pictures were being taken. It had been very great. And in the dream, it seemed to turn to a memorial service. And he saw Brother Timothy standing there, and he was speaking on, "I am the resurrection and life." And if you know, that was Timothy's role, to take the Easter camp and to host that. And then he said that he saw me speaking to a very large crowd, and I made a statement. We have my best friend in the building, Brother Ron Spencer. And then I spoke these words, and I spoke these words in use for my subject, "O thou sufferer, stand and be healed." And at that moment, his alarm woke him up, but the whole room was just alive with the presence of God. And he wrote me that day. I'm actually reading you from my notes, the accounts that he wrote me that day as he texted me about the dream and what had happened. But tonight, I am going to take that part there that I spoke. I wrote some notes on that at that time, and was actually going to speak it at Brother Ron's church when I went there to be at his mother's funeral, and I spoke a sermon on heaven. From there, I broke it down and spoke a series of that here to the church, and the snowstorm had snowed us out. And I had two sermons, and I didn't get to preach this one, but I was going to take that text from his dream, "O thou sufferer, stand and be healed." And that's what we're going to speak on tonight as we come to this part of the service. I just want to say, I believe we're in a very supernatural time, and we're in a very supernatural spot tonight. Amen. I believe that it's really important for us to understand that we are also overdue for a great move of the Holy Spirit. You say, "We've had it." Well, it's time for more of it. Amen. We can't get enough of that. Now, if I paraphrase some of my scriptures tonight, you just follow along with me the best you can and realize that's what I'm doing. But we're going to look back at Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 as we get into the word now. And I want to just try to hit it as fast as I can, as hard as I can. I know it's Wednesday night, but, you know, we want to speak what God has placed upon our heart. The scripture says, "More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering," you say, "Well, that's tribulation." Well, this is suffering. It produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Can you say amen to that? His love has been poured into our hearts. But again, you know, looking at this, that we rejoice in our suffering, knowing suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character hope, and hope doesn't put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Now, God is aware of human suffering. We are all here in this block of time, and we are all experience human suffering. As I spoke to a friend the other day about a heart condition, and he said, "Oh, Brother Tim," he said, "it's kind of like you said to me some years ago." He said, "It's just a grab bag of life." And there is the grab bag of life that we all have. We all, everyone have our weaknesses. We all have our struggles. You know, we have those here that they suffer, they struggle with a kidney ailment, or have struggled with a heart condition, or crippled condition, or, you know, all kinds of different situations of human suffering. Some things we inherited had nothing to do. Some were environmental and circumstantial because of accidents or situation or family problems or whatever. But I want you to understand that we're all sufferers. There's none of us are exempt from suffering. You know, God is aware, though, of human suffering. He knows that we're here, and when man chose to take off the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and with it comes the evil. I mean, you know, you just can't be exempt from it. No matter how spirit-filled, how much of a Christian you are, how close to God you are, you know, you're going to have a certain amount of human suffering. Every person had it. If you don't have it today, you'll have it tomorrow. If it ain't tomorrow, it'll be before you leave from here. I guarantee you, you will have your time of suffering. People have lived healthy all their years, get into their older years, and spend then days and days and months of suffering. But nevertheless, we all go through something in this life. Amen. But understand, God is aware of it. And he sees even the sparrow that falls. And but more than that, God sees our personal suffering. Even as a parent, you know, I see the suffering that my grown children and married children goes through. And I want to spare them of that suffering. You know, and sometimes to a fault, and many of you will do that, trying to spare them from suffering as much as you can. You know, to do something to ease the burden of a young family that's struggling under a load, you know, trying to put clothes on their children, or educate them, or trying to put food on the table, or whatever else, you know, you do that because as a parent, you don't want to see them suffer. You want to see them, you know, blessed and helped. And so you'll even take from your own self to give to that. But, you know, it is suffering that teaches us many valuable lessons. And it builds character and wisdom that cannot be achieved any other way. So there is a purpose to suffering. If you suffer through a situation, if you got something you're going through, a health issue, a financial issue, a struggle in your life, there's a purpose to everything that we go through. It is not without a purpose. Brother Branham would say in the Church Age book, and this is familiar to you, but says, why does he stand by? If he knows our tribulation, if he knows our suffering, well, then why does he just let us go through some of these things? You know, as a parent, my resources are limited. I can't provide everything that my children need, my grown children. I can't provide for them everything that my grandchildren need, a new car here, or a new home here, or, you know, everything just handed to them on a silver platter. I can't do it. I have a limitation, but God is not limited. God knows exactly, you know, our situation, and he's not limited. He's able to provide you the finest home, the greatest health, the biggest pay raise, the highest salary, everything else. God is able to provide, but he doesn't do it. He doesn't just remove all your human suffering. Amen. Because the Bible said in Romans 8:17 that if we're children, we're heirs of God and heirs and joint heirs with Christ. It's so that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. And the reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign, because power apart from character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. And since he wants us to share, even on his throne, on the same basis that he overcame and is sat down in his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. And the little temporary suffering we go through is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that shall be revealed in us when he comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. Amen. Now, I just want to say, you know, there was a man by the name of Saul. He was elevated to king, and he went through no trials. He went through no tests. He just was one day a little nobody, and the next day he was a king. And he had no character to go with his reign. But when God put a man on the throne, this was a man of the people's choosing, but when God put a man on the throne, it was David. And David was anointed to be king, and he had some victories, but now for the next almost decade or two of his life, he's running for his life. He's living in caves. He's learning a lot of things that Saul never learned. Amen. There was character being developed that man could reflect Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Amen. Because Jesus Christ would actually be the son of David. But it's not just character that we are building through suffering, as we heard Brother Murphy preach. But this suffering in this life, when God moves and he delivers, it reveals to us who he is. And that he can do anything and everything above that which we are able to think or ask. Amen. But whatever you're going through, I just want to give you this message tonight. Whatever you're going through. Whether it be in your home, with your children, with your finances, in your marriage, whatever it is, in your health, you know, whatever you're going through, you're going to get through it. Amen. You're going to get through it. You know, Romans 18 said, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Whatever we have to go through to sit with him and reign with him, so be it. It won't be worth comparing to the great glory that lays ahead for us as the children of God. Amen. Psalms 119:71 said, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes, because it is in our times of affliction that we learn God's word and we learn the meaning. It's not just a word to us, but no, it becomes our experience. We experience God. When you've been healed, you experience God as a healer. You're not just talking about a scripture, he was wounded for my transgression, but now it becomes real to you. This is when he healed you, he delivered you. And so he would say in James 1:2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know the testing of your faith, it produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. This is what God wants. Amen. For you to become perfect and complete, for you to develop some maturity by the things that you suffer. Even Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. He learned things from those experiences, and those experiences that you're going through of your suffering. You know, you might have been born and your father rejected, or your mother abandoned you, or you might have been in a situation where horrible things happened. It doesn't really matter what it was, but when we get through it all, we just know this, that it teaches us to believe, and that faith produces a steadfastness. But let steadfastness have its full effect, so that you can be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It would be Peter that would say, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." You know, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that comes upon you to test you, as though it was something strange. You know, it happens to everybody. You know, sometimes we say, "Well, the devil was really after me. I had a flat on the way to church." Well, there was a lot of men that had a flat on the way to the bar tonight. You know, it's just something that goes wrong with a vehicle. Tires go flat. Engines fail. Trouble comes, right? Amen. But again, you know, we want to pat ourselves on the back and say, "I must be doing really good now, you know, as a Christian, because the devil's really after me." Well, actually, you're living in time, and you're dealing with time, and you're dealing with the problems of this life. And it's such things that happens to everybody. So it isn't that the Lord looked the other way and let the devil after you. No, it's something that everybody is going through. You're going through your trial. I'm going through my trial. It's all the grab bag of life. Amen. And the sooner we get over the poor meek mentality and realize that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Amen. And quit being down in the mouth about it, but realize, hey, you know, it's just part of it. I'm here and this is part of it. You know, Brother Branham would talk about the aged people, and he said, "God, don't let the devil anoint me with some crabbed spirit, because I don't feel good and I've got old and cranky until nobody even wants to be around me." Come on, somebody, duck down in your seat or either say amen. Amen, because I'm preaching to you tonight. Amen. May the devil not crown you with an old crabbed spirit. Amen. No, sir. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, and that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you're reproached for the name of Christ, you're insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But don't let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief, or an evildoer, or a busybody, amen, in other men's matters, or as a meddler, right? But if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Amen. So he tells you that in your trials, in your suffering, in your false accusation, in all of these things, your response should be to glorify God. Not to be bitter and complaining. And nobody loves me and nobody cares. Amen. That's a lie to begin with, because Jesus cares. And if he cares, he means more than what everybody else thinks about you anyway. As long as he loves me. Amen. I can make it as long as he loves me. Amen. John 6:33, Jesus said these words, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." So Jesus, he let his followers know to begin with, "I'm not sparing you of the tribulation." Amen. Well, now we want him to. I know I do. I pray every day, "Lord, keep me from harm and dangers." Amen. I pray every day, "Lord, spare my family. Don't let me suffer this grief or this heartache or whatever." Amen. Even Jesus told us to pray that way. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Not wrong to pray that way, but we also know, though, we're not going to be exempt from everything. And God didn't let you down when that happened. He knew all about it. He knows what it takes. Amen. To get you to the place that you're supposed to be. Amen. But he said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Take heart." Amen. "I have overcome the world." Amen. So we can take heart tonight, knowing that God has overcome the world. Amen. So be of good cheer. Amen. Now, of course, I've said it before, you know, and I preached a sermon once on that. I said, if you think things are a bit bad now, cheer up. There's worse coming. Amen. Get happy. You might as well be. It's worse coming. Amen. Be glad of where you are today. Amen. Listen, this world is getting darker and darker, more and more evil. There's more and more things that we will go through in this life. Oh, you're painting a bleak picture. I'm telling you tonight, you are a sufferer. That's where we're starting. You are a sufferer. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says we are troubled on every side, or we're afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down or struck down, but we're not destroyed. Something may strike you down, but it can't destroy you. Amen. Something, you may be persecuted, but you're not forsaken by God. You may be afflicted in every way, but you're not going to be crushed by it. You may be perplexed, but not driven to despair. Amen. James 1:12 said, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those that love him. Amen. How many would like to have that crown of life? Amen. So, well, I don't want no crown. This is the crown of life. I think he won it. Amen. But the blessed is the man that remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, when your testing days are over, and as long as you are here, you're going to go through it. You're going to be a sufferer. Amen. There's always going to be suffering. In 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So he says, after you have suffered a little while, he will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, reestablish you. Amen. So you may go through some suffering, but he promises to restore. Amen. To confirm himself to you, to strengthen you, and to establish you. What a promise that is. In our trials, we can look for God to come on the backside of that. Amen. And restore and confirm and strengthen and establish us. The Bible would say in 2 Corinthians 4:17, he calls it our light affliction. And it's called a light momentary affliction. It is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Amen. So again, it is a light affliction preparing us for an eternal weight of glory. It's without comparison. You cannot compare whatever you have to go through to get there. Amen. The struggles of life in this race. Amen. The rewards that lay at the end of the road. It's going to be worth it, children. Amen. It's going to be worth it all when you see him. When we stand there on the other side. Amen. All the trials will seem as nothing when we come to the end of the way. The Bible would say in 1 Peter 1:6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. I want you to watch these words. For a season. A light momentary affliction. Amen. These things happen for a while. I want to come back to that here in a moment. But let's just look at it. He says the trial of your faith, verse 7, is being more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. You might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So you should rejoice that though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. And all of you, you know you have. I have. I've been grieved by various trials. But and these trials so tested the genuineness of your faith. Amen. It proved whether or not your faith was real. Whether you would give up under trial. under the test, under the strain, that you would break. And I can look here at many of you along the journey, 30, some 10, some 30, some 40 years along the journey, and haven't quit. No matter what happened, no matter the disappointments, no matter how hurt you've been, no matter the struggles of life. Amen. When everybody forsook you. Amen. When I started out, you know, I had all my family with me. And now I don't even have a brother that I go to church with me. You know, it struggles along the way, hurts along the way, injuries along the way. But we haven't quit. We haven't given up. We haven't stopped. What does that prove to you, amen, about yourself, the genuineness of your faith? Amen. That it wasn't hanging on because maybe your husband left or your wife left or whatever. But you wasn't hanging on because of them. Your tie to Christ wasn't because of them. It was because of a personal experience with Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh my. Yes, sir. And so he said again in this verse initially, rejoice though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is be tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, amen, in whom though you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even your salvation. So, you know, you never saw him, yet you love him. You still don't see him, but yet you trust him. Amen. You trust him. You believe him with laughter and song and rejoicing. Because you kept on believing, you'll get what you're looking for. Is that what the scripture said? Because you kept on believing. It says receiving the end of your faith. Because you kept on believing, you'll get what you're looking for. What are you looking for? Change of my body. Meeting in the air. The great rapture that lays ahead. The reward of seeing the sainted dead come up. Amen. We're living in that generation. Amen. We're going to achieve it because we never gave up. We didn't quit. We didn't stop. Because of our suffering, because of the trouble that we went through. Amen. Now, verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You say, my situation is unique. No, it's common to man. Somebody else has had the same problem. Amen. You got bad eyes, somebody's had worse. Amen. You got a situation there of a crippled condition. Somebody else is probably worse. Amen. Even if you're the worst, it's still common to man. Whatever that we go through is common to man. Amen. We have our bodies break down. Some of them are born, deficient or whatever else. But nevertheless, there's been no temptation taken you. You say, I'm unique and I've been singled out and I had this trial and I've never been able to make it. I can't hardly afford food on the table and clothes on my kids' back or a decent car to drive. You haven't been singled out. Amen. No temptation is taking you but what is common to man. But God is faithful. Amen. Oh, you're going through it, but God is faithful. Amen. Yeah, what you got is common, but what something else that you got is uncommon. And that is that God is faithful to you. Amen. That's not common to many people in the world today. Come on. But it is something that is yours. God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation, oh, I like this word, will also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So God said, every temptation you have, every trial you go through, I've made an escape route. Amen. That when you reach the limit, when you've reached the end, when you can't go another step, amen, when you can't bear it no more, I provided a way out. I'll get you out of it. Amen. Now, God does not send you through a trial. God takes you through a trial. Let me say that again. God does not send you through a trial. God takes you through a trial. And the Bible said in Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. Hallelujah. Amen. Jeremiah would prophesy and say in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. And thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Or in other words, plans for your welfare. And not for evil, but to give you a future and a hope. I want you to understand, the suffering you're going through is not your future. Amen. No, it isn't. God has greater plans for you than for you always to remain a sufferer. Are you with me? Amen. James 5:10 said, take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. That the Lord is very pitiful and tender mercy. So he points as an example of suffering and patience. Brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You remember Balaam in the Bible? You remember he came first with the word, if you would offer me houses of gold and silver, I can't say nothing but what the Lord puts in my mouth. If he would have stayed steadfast, he would be one of the greatest prophets and heroes in the Bible. But because that he says, but let me go and acquire again. Perhaps God has changed his mind. Maybe get a second opinion. Let's see if we can't change this around. He became a false prophet because he perverted the word of the Lord. Are you with me? Amen. But what if he'd have stayed steadfast? We would have counted him blessed. Amen. And it's only those that remain steadfast that God is going to count blessed. You've heard of the steadfastness of Job. You've seen the purpose of the Lord. How the Lord is compassionate and merciful. You've heard of it. Amen. What happened? Come on, somebody. What happened? God restored Job. Is that right? He was steadfast. Amen. And you've seen the purpose of the Lord. To show his enemy, I've got a man in Job. I've got a real child of God in Job. You can't make him curse me. Amen. Brother Branham would say of Job, he said, and you can read this, and I have heard and now I see. He says, oh, what a man that God would have such confidence in. To say to his enemy, you can't sway him. You can't turn him against me. Amen. Oh, brother, sometimes it ain't to prove to God. God knows. He's letting you know. He's letting you know you're that kind of man or woman of that kind of caliber and character. That you won't be a turncoat and turn around and run and backslide. Because things didn't go your way. Amen. You don't just throw your hat in and say, I quit. But let's go to Philippians 4:6. And I read this from the Amplified. And so bear with me here. But he says, don't fret or have anxiety about anything. How many has some anxiety? Oh, yeah, well, I see hands everywhere. Do you know that's sin? Amen. It's wrong to worry. You're breaking the word. Don't fret or have anxiety about anything. You know, somebody wrote me a letter today and said, there's a man I work with. He wanted to know, you know, could he be forgiven for fornication? Or, you know, him and his wife-to-be, you know, had relations before marriage. Could this be forgiven? I said, listen, any manner of sin can be forgiven. Any manner, except for blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. I said, but a man with the Holy Ghost, he doesn't sin willfully. And so when you commit adultery and fornication, you are willfully sinning. You plan that. Amen. That's true. You planned it. You figured out some way and went against your conscience and the warning. You know what that shows? Holy Spirit ain't there. Amen. And you're a willful sinner. So, well, there's no sacrifice for sin then. And that's right. You don't have a sacrifice for sin, so you better get to Calvary. Amen. People who sin willfully, they better get to Calvary. People who have been to Calvary make mistakes. And when I worry, I make mistake. Come on. Amen. That's not willful. Amen. I want to believe God with all my heart. I want to do everything. I want to keep my mind stayed on Him. But circumstances pull me away and I don't do it willingly or willfully. But understand, I make that mistake. But I have an advocate. I have a sacrifice. Amen. Come on. And when I realize what I've done, I ask forgiveness. You know, Brother Branham would stand in the pulpit and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. He wasn't asking forgiveness for pornography that day. He wasn't asking for sin because he went and slept with a woman or drank and got drunk. He was asking forgiveness for unbelief. Lord, forgive me for unbelief. Why? Because that's a war within your human mind. And Satan has a right to come there. And he brings those fears and anxieties. But you got to realize, he told you, don't do that. So what do? When you realize you're doing it, you take that captive. Amen. You take it. You take that captive. You reach and you grab that. And you bring that subject to the Word. So don't fret or have anxiety about anything. Come on. But in every circumstance, and everything by prayer and petition, by definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known before God. Amen. Amen. And God's peace shall be yours. And that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot of whatever that sort is, that is, that peace. That transcends all understanding. Listen, that peace, you know, when that peace is there, you don't understand why you can have peace. Amen. Come on. I stood there that day with my wife in the hospital, and there was a little sister came up to her just recently and said, little sister, you don't know how blessed you are. You don't know what God did for you. My sister had a brain bleed in the exact same spot, same location, and she hadn't left the bed. Let me tell you, that was grace. We had every reason to fear and be anxious and to fret. Are you with me? Amen. But friends, I just simply had to take my mind and take it around back to God in God's Word. He was my only hope. Oh, but He's a hope. He's the greatest hope. Amen. I put my mind on Him, and that peace came on me, and it transcended all my understanding. Everything the doctor said, it ruled over it. It garrisoned it and mounted guard over my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. And I just began to speak in His name. Amen. I just began to speak, and I just said, now tonight she will be in ICU. Tomorrow night she will be in a regular room. And by the next night she will be home. Amen. Friends, that was not just a mortal man hoping. Amen. That was speaking by inspiration, by faith. Are you with me? Why? Because I refused at that moment to fear. I was just believing. I said, this is what we do. This is what we have been trained for. And I want you to know, in your suffering, don't give up believing. Don't give up trusting. Don't just get to the place, oh, well, you know, I've got to go through this, and this is all my life. No, it happens for a season. Amen. The season changes, and you don't always remain in that condition. For a little while, didn't say all your life, for a little while. It said these light and momentary afflictions. It didn't say you have to go through it all the time. Don't consign yourself or resign yourself to having to endure this all the time, forever. He will make a way of escape. Amen. There is a way of escape. So he says in Philippians 4:4, always be full of joy. And again, I say rejoice. Let everyone that sees that you're considering all, see that you're considering all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Amen. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and then thank him for all he's done. Amen. Did you ever notice Jesus' model prayer? Our Father. The first thing is you in your prayer, you state your relationship to God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. First thing you do is you begin to thank him and praise him. Tell him that holy is thy name. Let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done. Let your will supersede my will. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from this evil. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread. All of these things, you know, before you ask for a thing, and then you finish up that prayer with, but thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So you begin praising him and exalting him and stating your relationship to him. Because we're not coming as beggars. We're coming as believers. We're not coming as beggars and foreigners. We are coming as the citizens of the household of God. And we're more than just citizens in his kingdom. We are his sons and daughters. We can approach him as our Father who art in heaven. Are you with me now? Amen. Lamentation says this, but this I call into mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies never come to an end. Amen. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good for those, to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. Amen. Amen. I gave you the scripture in Psalms. This is my comfort. This is why I'm giving you all these scriptures. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promises give me life. So I'm telling you these scriptures tonight because they give you life. Psalms 34:17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And many are the afflictions of the righteous. Uh-oh. Amen. You ought to rejoice in that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord, I'm glad it didn't end there. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Amen. So therefore, you know, you're a sufferer. That's true. Suffering is something that we're used to. Suffering is things we'll go through. We either suffer now or we'll suffer later. You're suffering somewhere in your life, even as we speak. There's a need that is there. We are needy. Are you with me? But I want you to notice there in the word that was spoke, oh, thou suffered. Now, we've all agreed that we have suffered. You've suffered in the manner that you've had to. I've suffered in the manner I've had to. We've all been sufferers. Amen. But now, oh, thou that suffers, stand. Stand. Rise. Take action. You don't quit sitting there in your pity. You know, start taking some action. You're better suffer. Yeah, you know, it's common. Everybody goes to it. You've got to it. I've got it. We all have it. But stand. Amen. There's an end to your suffering. Amen. Psalms 30 and 5 said, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor for a lifetime. So if you know, even if God's been angry with you, it's not but for a moment. Amen. But his grace, oh hallelujah, his favor, are you with me? His favor is for a lifetime. I'm going to get more grace out of God than I'm going to get anger from God. Amen. So, you know, even if he's been angry with me because of some failure or fault, many times we look at ourselves, God's just been angry with me. Well, perhaps he has, and perhaps he's justified. But his anger is but for a moment. But his favor, his grace, amen, his grace is for a lifetime. I've got a lifetime of favor. Hallelujah. Amen. Weeping may tarry for the night. Amen. But joy comes in the morning. Oh, I'm telling you, it's for a season. There's joy coming. I'm prophesying you tonight. Your situation and your suffering is only for a season. Amen. God doesn't intend for you to stay that long forever. Now, you know, some places, you know, you have a longer winter than others. And then summer comes. I've been up to Alaska where the light shines for almost 24 hours. Seems like the light never goes down. I've seen cabbages bigger than this pulpit. A lot bigger than this pulpit. And gardens that are lush and whatever. And you know, they got rich and fertile soil. But they got a real short growing season. But in that growing season, do they ever have a season? And do they ever have a harvest? You might have been suffering for a long time. I'm trying to tell you tonight, you're going to have even a bigger harvest. Amen. A greater harvest than your suffering. You may have been discouraged. You may have been hurt. You may have been confused. It may have been a long time. It's for a season. The season is coming to an end. It don't last forever. Amen. Weeping may come for the night, but joy comes in the morning. There will be a morning dawn where his mercies are new and his favor shines on you again, and that you'll find that way of escape as the light comes up. Are you with me? Amen. And I'm trying to tell you, you know, you have suffered a long time, but it's now time to take action. It's now time to take a stand. Amen. The Bible said in Psalms 22 and 23, you that fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All you offspring of Israel, for he hath not despised or abhorred the affliction of the affliction. And he hath not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. Amen. This God hears your cries. He has not been ignoring them. He's been hearing them. He sees what Pharaoh has been doing to the children of Israel. I've seen what the taskmasters did. I've seen the trouble. I know the persecution. But I have come down to deliver them. Amen. I've come to do something about it. I've come to make a way of escape. Amen. This is beyond even reason. It may not be reasonable. It may not make sense. You may not be able to comprehend or wrap your mind around how God could possibly do this. But God is about to get you out of some very impossible situations. Are you with me? I'm not just preaching tonight. I am prophesying tonight. God is about to get you out of some most difficult and terrible situations. Because you've suffered long enough. You've been through this season long enough. It is time for you to stand. Hallelujah. It's time for you to believe. Amen.
and it's time for you to, that have been steadfast, to know God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You didn't give up and you didn't quit and you kept believing. Amen. You didn't stop. And He rewards that. Amen. There's an end to your suffering. There's an end to the trial. There's an end to the affliction. Amen. It's not eternal. It's not forever. It comes to an end. You are forever. You are not temporary. It's only temporary. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You see, He's going with you through this. You hadn't taken a step without Him. He's been right by your side. Amen. There have been times when you couldn't go anymore. He carried you through it. Amen. He has been there all the time. Amen. Oh, there He is. So therefore, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand firm. Amen. Stand firm. Don't quit. Don't be a quitter. Don't stop short of the goal. Amen. Maybe you've ran until now you can't go anymore and you stumble to your knees. Keep on crawling. Crawl right on. Reach that finish line. The reward's at the end. Malachi 4 is a very familiar scripture. For behold, the day is coming. Burning like an oven. When the arrogant, the evildoers will be stubble. That day that is coming shall set them ablaze, saith the Lord of hosts. So they will lead them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, how many reverences his name? For those that reverence my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Amen. That ought to make you shout tonight. Amen. You shall be. Listen, here's what their end's going to be, but this is yours. This is yours. For you that have reverenced my name, you that have kept my word, you who have kept on believing, you who have been steadfast, the Son of Righteousness with new mercies shall rise with healing in his wings, and you will go forth leaping like calves out of a stall. Amen. You've been cooped up long enough. You've suffered in this long enough. But this God sees you leaping like a calf, free as you can be. The encumbrance behind you. Amen. Doing the Merriam dance because you see your enemy defeated. Amen. Oh, by faith, I see the victory ahead. Amen. Isaiah 41 and 10 said, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Oh, this is God speaking. Amen. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'll help you stand. I'll help you to overcome this. I'll help you rise above this. I am your God. Oh, blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Are you with me? Amen. Peter was in an impossible situation. Herod had sent out an edict to have him arrested and have him killed. He was to be slain and killed, you know, there under capital punishment. And he was sleeping between two soldiers, bound but with the two chains, and sentries was before the doors. They wasn't going to let this guy loose. No. He was bound with two chains, and he was sleeping between two soldiers. Amen. Then there were sentries before the door guarding the prison. It was an impossible situation. How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to escape this? How in the world can I do it? Amen. There was a group of people over there that was interceding and praying, calling on God, Lord, don't let Peter be killed. Lord, don't let Peter be healed. And God sent an angel. The angel's already been seen. A ball of fire there, over there in the Philippines, and many that repent and get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord standing on the platform, God working here, working there, all over the world. The angel has been seen. Amen. The angel of God encamps about those, just in case you didn't catch it. They encamp about those that fear him and delivers them. Amen. Are you with me now? Oh, so that about that time, you know, the angel of God stood next to him and a light shone in the cell. And the angel Lord struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Get up quickly. That's what I'm saying to you tonight. Get up. Amen. It's time to arise, to stand. Stand up, Peter. Amen. Struck Peter on the side and woke him. Said, get up quickly. And the chains fell off of him. Hallelujah. If we can get people into action. There's an angel of God standing in the pulpit tonight. A messenger sent from God telling you, get up. You've suffered long enough. You've been through this trial long enough. You suffered this situation long enough. It's time to strike you on the side. Shine the light on the scripture and say, listen, get up. Because when you stand, the chains will fall off. But they're not going to fall off till you stand. Amen. Get up. And the angel said, dress yourself. Put on your sandals, and he did so. He said, wrap yourself, your cloak around you and follow me. Oh, my, don't you want to hear those words? Amen. Let your faith arise. Amen. Listen, his promises like this that gives us life. Stand. You know, quit laying down. Quit sitting in that position. You know, you get there and you just think, this is my lot in life. This is just what I got to go through. This is my grab bag. This is it's just how it has to be. It's not how it has to be. It's for a season. It's a light affliction. It's a momentary affliction. Is somebody with me tonight? Amen. God trying to tell you something. Listen, you got to get up from there. How do I get up, Brother Tim? You mean stand in my seat here? No, that might be something that you could do, but that's not going to do it either. Here's what I want you to do. He said the only thing you can get from God is by faith. And if God reveals your heart and speaks to you and gives you deliverance here, don't you never have no kind of a testimony other than he healed you. Because if you one time testify to the other side, the negative side, it'll come back to you worse than it ever was before. Amen. Now don't despair now. Because you say, I'm guilty, Brother Tim. I prayed for it and then I got negative testimony and I fell right back into that rut and that trap. And it's worse than ever. But don't forget Brother Murphy's sermon on the binding of the serpent. Said you can bind him, but you can also loose him. And I often wondered myself, what in the world, what in the name of God's creation, would I want to loose the devil? Well, I don't. And you don't either. We want him bound and remain bound. But just as sure as you have the power to bind him, you also have the power through unbelief to loose him. And Brother Branham said, that I might know that I have the power to loose you, I loose you now. And he said it began to wiggle. Well, he didn't let it go very far. He didn't let it chase a dozen people. He didn't let it bite everybody. Come on. Just as soon as he saw it wiggling again, he said, I bind you again in the name of Jesus Christ. For if you can bind him once, you can bind him again. And if your unbelief has let the devil loose on you, I say to you tonight, bind him again. How do I bind him? Take that word on your lips and say, I do this as a child of God. I bind this sickness. I bind this devil. I bind this tormenting spirit. It's Wednesday and I'm hurrying. But I'm also Tim Pruitt. If you one time testify the other side, the negative side, it'll come right back on you. Worse than it ever was before. You young people, you drove a stake down. Don't you start having a negative testimony. I am saved. I'm a child of God. I've been born again by the Spirit. Well, I fell down. I might have fell down, but I'm not crushed. I might have fell down, but I'm not destroyed. I'm getting right back up. Amen. I'm going to bind that thing again. I will have power over it. It will not control me. I was born to be a devil defeater, a serpent bruiser. That's why I've come here. I have not been here to be controlled by sin, by sickness, by hell. I have come here to control sin, sickness, and hell. Tell him where to go. That's what you got to do tonight. Tell him where to go. Put that word on your lips. Tell him where to go. Stand. Stand. Take your stand. Stand. It ain't time for a pity party. It ain't time to look at that. I've had it too long. It's too big a problem. Ain't nothing too hard for my God. My God is an awesome God. My God's a healer. My God's a deliverer. My God's a savior. My God is King of kings. My God is Lord of lords. He can never do nothing for you until you first say, he's done it. And accept it. And testify it. Take your stand. He's a high priest of our confession. He will never be the high priest of your unbelief. He's a high priest of your confession. When you confess, he's done it. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm free. He said, verily I say unto you, if you say to this mountain, in your heart, be cast up and plucked away, cast away and doubt it not, but believe in those things that you say shall come to pass, you'll have it. Whatsoever he saith, and he says, whatsoever you confess. Then he said, let the weak say. Oh, but you say he's weak. That's not what the weak says. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Just say in your heart, I'm now strong. I've accepted Jesus as my healer and never have a negative testimony anymore. Just believe it. Oh my. Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, the Father, to accept you. He's sitting there, the high priest, your confession. To make good before the Father anything he died for. That you're confessing, he's done. Amen. So if you'll confess it, he's done it. He died for that. He's there to make it good. Divine healing cannot be any plainer than that. It's to the weakest. Let the weak say. All right, come on. Amen. Not those that are strong say I'm strong, but let the weak. So I'm just, I'm a weak Christian, Brother Tim. Don't say that. You say I'm strong Christian. Come on. You break the word of God. Because, but if you'll confess God's word will defeat Satan anywhere, any place, any time, and any condition. Hallelujah. Amen. So you've got to accept it. So he says, one minister said to a minister friend of his, said, I think it's awful. That preacher, William Branham, said, it's a shame. He tells people to go believe before anything's happened. Did you ever notice that in the prayer line? Brother Branham would pray for them or tell them about their situation. Then he said, you go believe. He said, before anything's happened. And he said, how are you going to be healed except it's by faith? You've got to stand on that word. You've got to take your stand. Yeah, you've suffered, but now stand. And what are you going to stand on? God's word. Well, there's impossible circumstances. You mean like Abraham and Sarah? Who stand there believing God's word. God gives you examples in the scripture. Not meaning you're going to have to go through 25 years of it. But still, he gives you the example in the scripture that now, no matter how long, even if when it gets to the point, it looks impossible. God's still the God of the impossibility. Amen. Now then, so you see, this is that. Healing is not something that you just say, yeah, I believe it, I believe that. Now he said, now, if that's the best you can do, and for some people that's the best they can do, just say, yeah, I believe it. I believe God's word. I believe he said that. I believe I'm healed. And he said, if that's the best you can do just mentally, see, you say, well, yes, I see it. I believe it. I accept it. Then if you accept it on those bases, keep saying it over and over and over. Say it out loud. Say it over and over and just keep saying, I'm healed, I'm healed. And he said, say it until you actually believe it. And when you believe it, then it's going to take place. And he said, don't have a negative testimony. Because every time you confess, well, I still feel bad today, you'll go right straight back to the same rut that you was in the beginning. Is that right? Amen. And it ain't based on how you feel. Because he's not the high priest of your feeling. He's the high priest of your confession. Is that right? And Brother Branham would say, Satan can whip you around the stump on your feelings, but he can't when it's thus saith the Lord. Well, you say, I wish I had thus saith the Lord. Well, how many thus saith the Lords do you need? I have given you thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. Scripture after scripture after scripture. How many more do you need? You don't need any more. You need to put into use and stand on what you've been given. Are you with me? Amen. So you got to start there. You accept him as your healer. Renounce your feelings. Hello. It is not by feeling. It's by faith. Say you're healed. Believe you're healed. Act like you're healed. Associate with those who believe in healing. And God will bring you out into a perfect soundness of health. It will not fail. Amen. Too simple. Too simple. But that's the truth. But you know what we do? We look at the symptoms to see if anything's happened. Jesus did not put a camp around the fig tree when he spoke to it. He just said, let nothing, no man eat from you from this day on. And he walked on. Neither did he stand around that tree for the next 24 hours saying, I rebuke you, Satan, I rebuke you, Satan, I rebuke you, Satan. Come on. All he did was place the word and walked on. And when they come back the next day, he was dead. That's what God wants you to do. Amen. You that have suffered, stand. Stand on what? The word. Stand on that confession. Make that confession. Because he's the high priest of your confession. Amen. And then the devil sends you something with your name attached to it, and it's a box of snakes. You don't sign for it. If you don't sign for it, he can't give it to you. Amen. Come on, somebody. He can come up to you and say, this is yours. It's been sent to you, a box of snakes. And you say, but I'm not taking it. Amen. Jesus said I didn't have to take it. And his word's bigger than yours. And I ain't signing for it. Let's put your name on this paper. I ain't signing for it. The doctor said, I ain't putting my name on it. I'm not agreeing to this. I'm not accepting that. It is not me. Amen. Now, so you again, you look at your symptoms. You say, well, look here, I was prayed for a crippled hand. And my hand is no better. That's no sign you're not healed. God said so. No matter what that hand takes place, it's what God says. It's not my hand. See, it's what God said. I accept it and I'll stay with it. Now you can open it up today, tomorrow, might be 25 years, but you let your testimony be positive. And every time you get sick and you were prayed for and you go out and get a little sick and you say, well, I guess I lost my healing. Then your testimony becomes negative and Jesus can say no more for you. Because he's a high priest of your confession. And he can only confess faith in his word. Because he can't testify against himself. Are you with me? So you that have been suffering, you have to take a stand. Don't never let a testimony, a negative testimony, testify positive. Jesus healed me and I'm well. Amen. Go and you will receive your healing. This is what he would tell people over and over again. He says, even your peptic stomach and ulcer and things that you're suffering with is because of your nervousness and because of your anxiety and your worrying instead of believing. And it can cause all kinds of sickness to come upon you. You can invite sickness with worry. So you want to be more sick? Keep fretting. Quick, you keep worrying. Oh, it's going to get worse. Oh, I catch everything. I don't catch everything. Amen. And it can't catch me. Amen. I'm an overcomer. I'm running a race. Devil, get behind me. Amen. I'm not going to listen to you talk. Amen. Now, Paul would say, and he would say, now, it's a strange thing that there's so much thought of people, they say, well, I'm weak. My faith is not very much. Now, some people think they're being honest when they're saying that. Well, you know, we got this syndrome, you know, in the message, you know, we're supposed to be humble. So, yeah, well, I ain't nobody. You're a real prayer warrior. No, I'm not nobody. Well, I believe you're a real son of... No, I'm not nobody. That ain't spiritual. You're talking devil talk. Why do you want to talk devil talk? That's what the devil says about you. Why do I want to confirm to the devil that I'm starting to believe what he's saying about me? Amen. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say I can do all things through Christ. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Come on. Amen. I'm a child of God. Amen. He said, there's so much thought of people. They say, well, I'm weak. My faith isn't very much. I'm not a very good Christian. That's just what the devil wants you to say. You're just talking his language right then. So that's devil talk. Amen. You must never say that. Don't let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive all the time. I'm saved. I have God in my heart. Amen. Oh, if you can get that revelation that he's there, then greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Don't let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive all the time. I'm saved. I have God in my heart. I believe him with all my heart. Do you believe in divine healing? With all my heart. Never permit a negative thought to come to your mind if you can help it. And when it starts that, don't entertain it. Amen. You say, well, I can't keep the thoughts from coming. Well, it's like the farmer said, he couldn't stop the birds from flying over his place, but he could sure stop them from roosting. You can't help the thoughts when they come, but don't entertain them. Amen. Do you ever sit and start entertaining the thought? Oh, the kids are late. Oh, the kids. Oh, a horrible accident. Oh, my goodness. You know, what am I going to do? I couldn't live without my kids. Oh, Lord, what color casket? Who will preach their funeral? Or where will we get the money to pay for it? Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. My kids, they're all dead. They come home in a few minutes blowing the horns. You ought to realize you were so foolish to get all in a tizzy crossing a bridge that you never come to. Amen. Because you started fretting rather than believing. Come on, somebody. Amen. Mine ought to be. Huh. Even if they are in a wreck, my God's able to spare them. Even if they get injured, he's able to heal them. He'll make them whole again. This is the God we serve. Amen. They're not by themselves. The angels of God are with them. They're gonna go with them through them, whatever they're going to go through. Are you with me? Amen. That's the way we have to do. Stand. Don't think. Are you with me now? You still with me? Don't think sitting there in a wheelchair that you're hopeless, helpless. You are not. Don't let that negative thought ever pass through. Don't let it anchor. You can't help it going through your mind, but don't let it stop. Are you with me? Amen. You say, well, there's birds, you know, that are flying over. Yeah. But you got, you know, the farmer said, there's a bird, but I got a double barrel shotgun. Amen. I can sure keep them from roosting. Amen. I'm not even going to tell you what kind of birds they are or tell you anything about it. I ain't going to tell you who it was. But I know of a man had some birds once come nest with put a bunch of mud on his house. He wasn't going to stand for that mud to be on his house. So you know what? A couple of blasts of a good 410 shotgun got rid of them birds. They wasn't living on his house. But I've seen people that are such bleeding hearts. They'll let them birds come right on, build a nest, have their mess running all the way down their wall for people to walk by. Not me. Oh, I wasn't going to tell. Are you with me now, church? You don't have to put up with that. No, you got a double barrel shotgun. It's an Old and a New Testament. And I've given you shells from both sides. Load your guns and stand up. Be a man and fight. Don't let them roost there. Don't let them stay there. No, sir. I'm not letting that stay. It ain't going to be. No, not negative thinkers. These signs shall follow them, shall follow believers, Brother Branham said. Not negative thinkers. Signs don't follow negative thinkers. Stop it. So let your meditation of your heart, your thoughts, your songs, just and let all that I am just meditate on thee, Lord, day and night. That's the way to get God close to you. Quit thinking about what the Joneses are doing and what you're going to do next week and all this. And just start, feel my way every day with love as I walk with that heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Feel my way every day with love. Go right on down the road, no matter what school keeps or not. If it don't, we return the teacher out. We just go right on believing on the Lord. Keep the meditations on God. Think on these things. The Bible said, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. These are mandates from God. Stand and do the right thing with it. Are you with me? No, I'm trying to bring it to a close. Honest I am. I'm just over time just a little. Amen. But you know, I remember a testimony of just a little prayer cloth sent to a little lady. I don't remember where she was, whether it was Germany. Yeah, it was a German lady. She'd been crippled for 15 years with arthritis. She got in the mail, asked for a prayer cloth. You know, Brother Branham didn't charge for them, sent them up for free by the hundreds. With a little letter. Tell them, you know, repent of your sins. Get your neighbors together. Anybody that believes, lay this on you in the name of Jesus Christ and pray. If he's an unbeliever, don't call him. But confess your faults. Ask God to forgive you of everything you've done. Get everything right. Then pray. Put that handkerchief on your underneath garment over your heart and believe. This little German woman, 15 years in a wheelchair, bound down with arthritis and couldn't walk. It was an impossible situation. But here, as she took and met all the requirements, she repented. She made things right. She got ready for the blessing. She got the prayer cloth and pinned it on her. And when she did, she put her hand over her heart. And then she said, "Now, old man devil, you've been in me long enough. Get out." And she jumped out of that wheelchair and walked for the glory of God. Just simple faith. It ain't going to take some big move or some great revival. It takes 1 minute of believing. Stand. That's what she did. She did. She took her stand on the word of God that she had read and believed. Amen. Now, coming down to a close. Brother Branham said in the seventh seal, he says, I'm sure you noticed the things that's been happening this week. You noticed the little Collins boy laying there dying the other night. That little leukemia girl. Remember the stories of them. They were dying. God gave the little leukemia girl a complete new bloodstream. Took the little boy dying with a disease and healed him instantly. They went back to school and the doctor learned of it and said, come in here and let me examine that boy. He's sick. He should be in bed. Couldn't find a trace of it. The power of the spoken word. And he said, the kingdom of God is coming. And it's becoming more from the negative to the positive. What have I been telling you tonight? In Switzerland, in Burma, in the Philippines, in Turkey, in the youth camp in Japan and all these other places. It's coming more from the negative to the positive. Amen. What am I trying to tell you? There's a book of Acts that is being written. And we're in it. And you're a part of it tonight. And there's a book of Acts happening tonight. Tonight. Quit putting it off in the future. Tonight. That one day we are now writing it. This is another page that we are writing tonight in the book of Acts. And it's coming from more from the negative to the positive as it has been. Now that oughtn't choke people from justification to sanctification to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then here, we're just drawn to God more all the time. He's not getting further away. We're getting closer. Amen. The powers are not getting less. They're getting more. Come on. My God is God. He's here for deliverance tonight. Amen. To get you to believe. Amen. For you that have even turned the devil loose again. You say, well, I was healed of that and it's come back on me worse. Okay, he got loose again. Maybe your unbelief raised him up again. But it's time you bind him. You got the power within you. If it could happen the first time, it could happen the second time. Listen, my God's a God of first chances, second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances. I don't care how many chances you've had. It don't really matter to me. My God's a God of many chances. His mercies are new every morning. This morning, there was new mercies poured out for this day. And I'm here to take of it. Are you here to take of it? And remember, that was the last sign given to the elected church, Abraham. We've received our last sign. We don't believe it, we ain't going to believe. But when the angel of God come down and do that, he destroyed the unbelieving Gentiles, and the expected son that had been waiting on appeared, Isaac. This ministry will end soon, and the expected son will appear himself. The church has come through justification through Luther, sanctification through Wesley, in the baptism of the Holy Ghost through the Pentecostal, and is now winding up to the headstone ministry, typing all the time right into that perfect negative shadow becoming positive. Then Jesus will come to catch his church someday, those who believe. It is changing. Did you hear me? Your situation is changing. Your season is changing. Your situation is changing. It wasn't meant to be eternal or forever. It was only for a while. You don't have to perpetuate it. God is saying to you tonight, amen, yo thou that suffereth, stand and be healed. Are you with me now, church? Now you think of something for, you know, they still have these little Polaroid cameras that come out. When I was a boy, they were the thing. Now they're kind of a novelty, but they're still useful in certain situations. They still got a film. You know, most things we have today don't have a film. They're digital. But they still have a film, and they're put in there. And then, so it's the negative. And then when you strike the image, then you take it out, and you lay it over. And I have watched this Polaroid picture come from negative to positive. Until it was absolutely nothing, and and became the exact image of what it was struck on, of the photograph. Are you with me? Now, that's exactly what we do, church, when we stand on God's word. Amen. It's like snapping the picture. Now the image is struck. Hallelujah. There's no going back. Amen. It's going to change from glory to glory to glory until it matches the image of what you took of. Are you with me? Now the prophet of God said, you hold before you a vision of a complete healed person. And you step by step walk into that. Amen. What am I trying to tell you tonight? Oh, church, you've suffered long enough. Amen. But it's time for you to strike the image. Amen. It's time for you to take the picture. The picture there, a perfectly healed situation. I don't care what it is. You've suffered long enough. It's been for a season. But it's time now to stand and be healed. You may have had chronic conditions. They have lasted now for years and years and years and years. But God don't intend for you to go through that forever. He makes a way of escape. And there is a way out of your situation. Hallelujah. Thus saith the Lord. There is a way out of your situation. And it is for you tonight. And I say to you now, by measure of your faith that you take your stand. Amen. You that have suffered. Amen. You that have suffered. And you have suffered long. You've suffered through situation. But it's time for you to stand. Stand and be healed. How many in this building by faith right now would stand to your feet and say, that's me. That's me, Lord. Amen. I'm going to look there in the image of that word until I fit it. Stand and be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim liberty to those that are bound. Hallelujah. I claim right now the blood that was shed at Calvary. I claim that you're the high priest that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmity. I speak to this situation, the chronic conditions, the sickness in the body, the situations in the soul, the situation in the marriages and the homes. And we suffered long enough. It is time that we rise now. We stand and be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you rejoice right now as though it's already done? Because he says it's already done. It's already done. It's already done. It's already finished. It's already yours. Hallelujah. Let the musicians come. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. From this day on. From this day on, I am no longer the sufferer. I am healed. I accept that right now in Jesus' name. I'm delivered. Oh, my. I can hear that prophet say, gates of hell, give way to the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You're starting to stand on that word. Chains are beginning to fall off now. Hallelujah. The light is shining on the scripture. Amen. Chains are falling off. Walk out of your prison. Come on, Peter. Walk out. Follow this angel out of that situation. Take a step toward that promise right now. Say, I accept it in the name of Jesus Christ. I proclaim that. I speak it in the name of Jesus Christ. I claim that. By the blood that was shed. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's already done. Amen. Well, it's already done. It's already done. It's already done. Hallelujah.
already healed. I'm already healed. Amen. I'm already healed. The battle is over. Let's proclaim it tonight now. I'm already. Amen. Amen. The battle is over. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you. Say, I'm already healed. I'm already delivered. Oh, turn to him right now. I'm already healed. I'm already. Amen. I'm already delivered. Amen. I am a son of God. I'm going to start claiming that. The enemy, no matter how long he's been loose, he's bound tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, you're bound in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tell them that I
Sing that again. I'm going to ask Brother Daryl to come take the rest of the service. Amen. Sing that verse again. There's no shackles on me. Amen. I'm as free as I can be. Amen. Oh, there's no shackles on me. I'm as free as I can be. Because Jesus has changed my whole life. When he died on the cross, he paid sin's high.